Welcome back to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Jennifer Gibson. Jennifer, you've had a huge success with your young adult trilogy. Are you going to write more stories about Jesse, and I may say Ethan, who came so suddenly into your reading a few minutes ago, or will you turn your hand to something different now?
That's an interesting question. I've had many people, including teenagers, come up to me and says, are you going to continue this story into college and university? And I said, I'm not sure. We'll wait and see. I have to wait for my muse to come alive. And I always need a reason for it, especially this particular trilogy series was so hard on me emotionally and very draining, so I wanted to just take a break from that. Jesse is very much a part of me, and so she came alive in these books. And I just wanted to try something different. Now that I have experience, I've gone back to writing short stories, and which are a lot of fun to do. I mean, you could do an incredible amount of information in such a short period of time. And I've been submitting those to contests, and I haven't won any yet in that area. But you never know. So the more I write, the more choices I have to submit.
Right. Perhaps Ethan will inspire you to a further volume. Tell us a little about him.
Ethan, I based him on Jude Law. And that's where I got the looks. That's where he's got his personality, the sensual, the heat from him. He's from Jude Law, and the blonde hair and the gorgeous look. And he's my dream boyfriend. I mean, that's who I want. That's who's always wanted. So you never know. One day I might get married. We'll see. He'll probably look like Jude Law. So what I've done is, even though I'm not writing about Ethan anymore, I am in the process of writing a story. Science fiction, which is a totally new genre for me. I'm hoping that it will turn into a full-length novel. So we'll see. I'm writing very, very quickly. I've already gone into 4 or 5 chapters by now. And so that's a sign it's probably going to expand. And there's another book that I'm currently writing into my journal books. It's a totally different field. And that's fun to just dive into that. I haven't written it, typed it into my computer yet. I'm very old-fashioned. I have like a notepad and a pen, and I write the old-fashioned way until the ink runs out. Then I'm running around the house looking for more pants.
And the new book that you're keeping a secret, is that that's not a science fiction? So it's another field, is it?
They're both science fiction.
Oh, they're both?
Both science fiction. Yes, wow. I am keeping a secret because I don't want to jinx them because I'm superstitious.
No, right.
All writers are superstitious.
Well, you've written so much over the past few years. How do you find time for your other artistic interests? Photography and illustration and design, do those interests contribute to your writing?
Some days it's not easy. I do have a day job, and most of the time it's usually doing cover designs for authors all around the world, and that's extremely exciting to do. I really enjoy doing that. What I do is, I have a journal with me all the time, and I find that I get more creative later in the afternoon, and especially at night, at midnight. It'll hit me. That's when my most creative moments are. And I always have a paper and pen nearby, and I'll just jot it down, and then I can always expand it the next day or later in the week. And if my business is slow, I'll focus more on writing since I enjoy doing that. And I loved doing the young adult series.
Yes, what is it that appeals to you about that particular age group?
They're going through such a controversial time in their life. Their emotions are running extremely high. They need someone to give them guidance, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to offer a unique story to them. And I wanted to put more of a spotlight on disabilities, particularly hearing loss, because there's a huge stigma associated with it. It's incredible how many people automatically assume that it's an age-related problem. It's not. There are millions of people who are hearing impaired. And it's approximately 20% of the population is hearing impaired. And statistics show that 1 in 5 teenagers have a hearing loss, and that number continues to climb. So when I wrote the books, I wanted to show them, especially young adults, that they don't have to feel so alone. That was extremely important to me. I wanted to give them a sense of hope. And ironically, I wish I had these books when I was a teen. Would have given me a boost in my self-confidence. And I hope that when people read my books, they may learn from it, and become more aware of what it's like to be hard of hearing. And you don't have to be a teenager, you can be any age.
Right. So would you like to read from your most recent book? That's Destiny, isn't it?
Destiny, yes. And this is chapter 16 called Hope. I blinked as I looked around, feeling confused, and thinking that I suddenly woke up in the dark. All I could see was a long hallway shrouded in a dark gray fog, giving me the impression that it was more like a hazy memory than actual mist. I found myself staring at a young girl with blonde hair tied back into two ponytails. She wore a simple blue long-sleeved shirt, worn-out jeans with holes in the knees, and grimy blue sneakers. I peered closer and saw that she was snobbing, her shoulders heaving, with her face buried in her hands. I couldn't see who it was and took another step towards her. She gasped out loud and shied away when she spotted me. "Wait, it's okay," I said, reaching out with my hand. As I moved closer, I could see that fresh tears streaked down her cheeks, and she looked up at me, sniffing loudly. All around me, the air was oppressive. The only source of illumination was from the nearby window, which cast a gentle glow upon us. There was something vaguely familiar about all of this, and suddenly another figure appeared behind her. She wore a long, flowing silver robe that shimmered with every step she took. She left a trail of sparkling lights as she strode towards me and came to a stop beside me. It was Serena. Strange, I thought. The girl didn't seem to notice her. Serena smiled, clearly reading my thoughts. I exist in a different timeline than hers. Yeah, that doesn't really answer my question, I replied, as I continued to gaze at the little girl, feeling confused. I don't understand. Is this a dream? I asked Serena. And Serena tilted her head at me, her skin luminous, and her long silvery hair rippled like flowing water. She gave me a gentle smile. You do not recognize her? Or this place? She replied, waving her hand at the girl, sending a shower of sparkling motes that disappeared before they reached the ground. I started to shake my head and then stopped as I peered closer. She wore two hearing aids, like the ones I used to wear when I was younger. A faint memory tickled at the back of my mind, echoes of my past seeping through. What's wrong? I asked the child, who hiccuped in between sobs. She spun around and pointed towards the window. There was a large playground filled with kids running around laughing. They won't play with me, she said miserably. And the teachers are mean to me, too. Her lower lip quivered as she spoke. Mean? How? I asked. They kept punishing me. Then it all came rushing back at me. I fell to my knees as I realized who I was staring at. Me. Ah, now you remember, Serena said, as she nodded solemnly at me, placing her hand on my shoulder for comfort. My heart sank and my chest ached painfully as I recalled what happened. A tear rolled down my cheek, and I clapped my hand over my mouth in horror. The little girl stepped towards me. What's wrong? She asked. I was at loss for words. I was staring at myself at the age of 6 on one of the worst days of my life. We both reached out and touched our respective faces like touching a mirror decades apart. This can't be possible, I thought. Anything's possible, said Serena as she squeezed my shoulder. We all have life lessons that we need to learn on our journey. It's up to you to determine your next direction, she told me as I tried to unravel her cryptic messages. I started to speak, but my throat was constricted painfully, preventing me from making a sound. After several moments of swallowing and gathering my thoughts, I tried again. Did the teacher put your desk out in the hallway? I asked the child. She nodded, and then shoved you out, threw your books onto the desk, and slammed the door behind you. She nodded again, her face deeply saddened. She said that she didn't want me in her class. And I gasped as more information came flooding back in vivid detail, clenching my fists as anger and nausea rolled through me. You hid in the bathroom, and no one came looking for you. Isn't that right? She bowed her head as fresh tears fell. My heart broke into a million pieces. I'm so sorry, I said. She stared at me. No one's ever said that to me. I know, I replied softly. After a lengthy moment, I said, you deserve better than that. You're a good person. But that's not what the teacher said to me. She said I didn't deserve to be there. She glanced up at me. Why did she say that to me? Because she's afraid. Of what? She asked, look at me with a puzzled expression on her face. You. Me? I nodded. She doesn't know how to teach children like you. But I'm no different than anybody else. No, you're special, I said, smiling. Her eyes grew big. Really? I nodded again. You have a big heart, you're really kind, and you have a beautiful soul. Are you sure about that? I smiled broadly. Oh, yes. And you know what? No. What? You're smarter than most of the kids in your class. Really? She said, astonished. You're like the brightest star in the sky. She gasped with delight. I am? I nodded, then looked down and saw Ethan Starr sitting on my chest. I slipped it off my neck and placed it over her head. She picked it up and held it in her hands, completely mesmerized with it. The glittering star began to glow in dazzling shades of gold. She gasped, "For me?" "Yes, I want you to always remember that I believe in you. Whenever you need hope, just think of that star." She looked at me with soulful eyes, then held up her hand with her fingers tightly clenched. When I peered down, she opened her fingers to reveal a glowing, sparkling crescent moon in bright shades of ice blue, violet, and cool mint green. "For you, because the moon always watches over the stars," she said, beaming, her eyes full of renewed hope and strength.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
That was wonderful. How can people buy your book?
They're available online. You can go to my website. I have a bookstore on there where it has all of the links where they're available around the world. You can get them at KoboBooks.com. You can get them at Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Barnes & Noble, Smashwords. It's available almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So the print books are available from all these places too.
Yes, you can get ebooks and paperback books.
Yes. Great. So we're very happy that you came in, and we enjoyed it when you came and spoke to our Spirit of the Hills writers group.
Well, I really enjoyed writing these books and writing short stories. What's amazing to me is to be able to use my imagination and get paid for it. I mean, that's a beautiful thing to do.
Yes, indeed. So to our listeners, if you wish to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview to wordonthehills.com. And thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.